Welcome to another inspirational podcast from Nations Church. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.
To our online campus, we've got people joining us from all over the world. Africa. I hear that people have joined our online campus recently from as far away as Africa and Asia and the east coast of Australia. We think you guys are awesome. Clap for them. Like Pastor Shannon said, these guys in the room are our staff and they're socially distanced and they're wearing masks, but they're on fire today, aren't you, staff? Pastor Kristen always raves about you in our online campus, and we can't wait for the day that we get to meet some of you in person. That will be exciting, and you will notice that the online numbers have exploded today. That's because of all of our Perth campuses are doing church at home. Shout out to everybody doing church at home from a Perth campus. Obviously, we had a bit of a scare during the week with regards to COVID, and we went into a hard lockdown, but praise God, yeah? Praise God, no community transmissions in Western Australia. We thank God for that. So all being well, we should be back into our local campuses next week. So enjoy church at home today, because next week you'll be back in your campus. If someone's hosting you today, make sure you love on your host. Make it love on your host day. Treat them real good. If you have opened your home to turn your house into God's house, then we think you're amazing. What a legend. Don't leave them with a bunch of dishes, amen? Who's ready for the word? Staff are ready for the word. I'm believing you at home are ready for the word. I'm going to start by asking you a question. It's going to seem pretty random, but I just need you to go with me, okay? Can you do that? Can you go with me? Have you ever incubated chickens? Like, have you ever gotten chicken eggs and hatched them into baby chicks? Have you ever seen that done? It's a popular pastime of primary school teachers that they get themselves some chicken eggs and they incubate those things across time and see them hatch into these beautiful little fluffy chickens. It's awesome, because the kids are usually mind blown, because to date they only knew about poached, scrambled and fried. You know, they had never seen anything hatch from their fridge other than a moldy carrot or something like that, you know. So it's good, it's educational. You know, incubating eggs is quite a process. Like, if you've ever done it, it's quite a process. And if you want to actually successfully hatch some chickens at the end, you've actually got to create just the right conditions for that egg. Otherwise, you're not going to hatch anything. It's quite a process. You've got to control for the temperature. You've got to control the humidity. You've got to control the ventilation. You've got to rotate those eggs over and over again, controlling all these elements to make sure that the atmosphere is just right around the eggs that it will bring forth life. Recently, I've had this idea going over and over and over in my head. What would it take to live life in such a way that we incubate breakthrough? What would it take in a life? What atmosphere would I have to create around me in order to incubate a miracle? Because I believe that, similar to the chickens, there's particular atmospheres we can create around our life. There's particular spaces we can live in that are more conducive to incubating breakthrough than others. And that's why I've called this message today, I've called it Incubating Breakthrough. Incubating Breakthrough. The truth is that everybody needs some sort of a breakthrough in their life, whether it's a small thing, whether it's a big thing. Maybe you need breakthrough in lots and lots of things. Everybody can relate to this idea of needing a breakthrough. We've been in a season as a church of 21 days prayer and fasting. And for me, I've been believing for particular breakthrough. I want to see a breakthrough in the area of my prayer life. I want to see a breakthrough in my capacity to hear from God and receive downloads of divine strategy. I'm believing for that sort of breakthrough, but I know it's not just me. I know we've all got areas in our lives where we want to see God move. It's those problem areas for us, and to date we have no solution. Know what I'm talking about? It's those painful areas in our life and our heart, and to date we haven't seen the healing. It's those areas of lack and seemingly there's no provision coming in, and you just need a breakthrough, right? You just need something to shift. When we need breakthrough, when we're in need of breakthrough, it's actually a precarious time for our faith. Like, we can cope pretty well if the breakthrough comes quickly. But who knows, it's harder to cope when there's a delay. It's harder to cope when we haven't seen the breakthrough over a long time, when that miracle tarries, when it's been days, when it's been weeks, when it's been months, and the months even roll into years, and it's still painful. It's still confusing, and you still haven't seen that breakthrough you've been believing for. What do you do then? And I'm not just talking out of theory. I'm actually talking about out of a personal experience, because if you know our family, you know that we've been believing for years for breakthrough in the area of our son's life, Isaiah. Our son Isaiah, most of you would be familiar with the fact that he has a disability. You know, he's 14, so that's 14 years of and counting of looking to God and believing God for breakthrough, believing God that he would be able to talk properly, believing God that he would be able to learn properly and all these sorts of things. And to date, we haven't seen any major breakthrough. And don't get me wrong, we've seen all sorts of mini breakthroughs along the way and mini miracles along the way, and we absolutely give God glory for every single one of them. But the harsh reality of our life is that he's still so far away from where a typical 14-year-old boy should be. When there's a delay in breakthrough, the temptation is to slip into doubt. The temptation is to fall into unbelief. The temptation is to even just stop believing altogether. I know, because I've been there. But the problem is, in that kind of atmosphere, nothing hatches. In that kind of atmosphere, when we stay in doubt, when we stay in unbelief, it is not the atmosphere that we need to incubate a breakthrough. So what do you do? How do you create an atmosphere around your life that will indeed incubate breakthrough? According to the scripture, the atmosphere that is needed is an atmosphere of faith. Faith is the atmosphere that incubates breakthrough. Faith, the scripture says, is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of the things that are not seen. It is faith that brings the God realm forth. It is faith. It's the faith in our hearts. It's the faith in our mouths. The first culture statement of this church says we are about faith. We're about faith. We believe in the power of prayer. We seek after the miraculous in our lives. And I feel so moved for us as a church, every location, to see us walk in greater measures of faith this year, greater measures of faith in 2021, that we would be a church full of people that create an atmosphere that's conducive to seeing God move, to see God perform miracles on our behalf. So I want to take a look at the life of Abraham, because Abraham was a man that lived 25 years in need of a breakthrough. Who knows, that's a long time to be waiting for a breakthrough. He lived 25 years, and yet in it all, he managed to maintain an atmosphere of faith around his life. So significant was the faith that Abraham maintained that he's actually known in Scripture as the father of our faith. Abraham was known as a man who simply believed God. Over and over and over again, the Scripture records, Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he didn't just believe God in the good times. He believed God through years and years and years of uncertainty and years of confusion. Lots of Abraham's life was lived in a state of contradiction. On the one hand, he's got this repeated promise from God. I'm going to make you a father of nations. Kings will come from you. Your descendants will outnumber the stars in the sky. That was on the one hand. But on the other hand, His wife Sarah was unable to bear any children at all. She was barren. It's a contradiction. The name Abram, it actually means the father of many. Imagine that. Imagine being called the father of many when in actual fact you're the father of none. How does that feel? Not good, right? Not good, not at all good. When you read Abraham's story, you realize that he actually endured a lot. God took him out of his country. God took him away from his people, away from his family, and he brought him to a strange land, a land called Canaan. We hear Canaan, we go, oh yeah, Canaan, the promised land. But it was the first time for him at that moment in time. It was strange. It was not promised. It was unfamiliar. And in this one passage in Genesis 13, God is declaring the promise to Abraham. He says this in verse 14. He says, lift your eyes now, Abraham, and look from the place where you are, north and south and east and west. For all the land which you see, I will give to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and through its width, for I will give it to you. It's such an incredible promise that God was making here to this man, Abraham, but it almost seems like a cruel thing to say to someone who has no children. It almost seems cruel. Can you imagine that walk? Arise, Abraham, walk through the land. I'm giving it to your children. I'm giving it to your children's children. Can you imagine what was going on in Abraham's heart? Imagine that internal wrestle in his heart. But God, I don't even have one child. It's like, God, I want to believe you. I want to receive it. But everything I'm experiencing is warring with everything that you're saying. Month after month, Sarah's getting her period. Month after month, we're not pregnant. In the passage of time, she goes through menopause. The Bible says her womb was dead. It was beyond childbearing years. I mean, how do you reconcile that, Abraham? How do you live in that tension? Because many of us, wherever you're watching today, many of us I know have been in that same but different sort of situation where we're living in a contradiction. Have you ever felt like you're sandwiched between the promises of God on one side and the harsh reality of life on the other side? You've got a promise from God on the one side, but it seems so far away from fulfillment. It just doesn't even seem feasible. It doesn't even seem possible. And what was prophesied and what was spoken, it hasn't come to pass. And we live in that place. So what do we do? How can we live there in such a way that we actually incubate breakthrough? And the first thing I want to say is we need to get outside our tent. Turn to your neighbor and say, get outside our tent. Or get outside your tent. Whatever. Just say it. Just declare it. We're going to read a passage out of Genesis 15. Beautiful passage of scripture. It says from verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. Abram. Isn't that interesting? Right in the middle of his need for a breakthrough, God says, don't be afraid. I think that's for someone today. Don't be afraid. I am your shield. I am your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. And then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside. He took him outside. He took him outside. Outside of where? Outside of the place that he was living. He took him outside of his tent. He was living in a tent. God brought him outside of his tent and he said, look up, Abraham, look at the sky, count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. God brought him outside. God brought Abraham outside of his tent. See, while Abraham was living inside of his tent, all he could see was the bleak nature of his situation. While he was in the tent, all he saw was the impossibility. And he meditated on those facts. I don't have a son. I don't have an heir to inherit this land. I don't have an heir to fulfill this promise. That's what he meditated on. But God comes to him in that place and he brings him out of the tent. He said, Abraham, my boy, look up. Abraham, look up at the stars, which I made, by the way. I made them and count them. Can you even count them? Would you look up, Abraham? And I love the imagery here because it's kind of like a contrast of two realms. On the one hand, you get this tent that represents our realm, our worldly experience, our earthly reality, and all the problems and issues that we face. But on the other hand, the starry sky, the canopy of the heavens that represents God's realm, and it represents his reality, and it represents the fact that his capacity is endless and limitless and cannot be measured. And he brought Abraham out of the one realm so that he could see the other realm. Like, come out of your reality and would you catch a glimpse of my reality? Back in January, just last month, I took Isaiah camping in a tent for two nights. Just me and Isaiah in a little nylon pop-up tent for two nights. And the tent label said it was a three-man tent. But I would like to meet those three men that they used to measure the tent size. They were the world's tiniest men. I'm sure of it, because Isaiah and I were just like squeezing in there. If you know Isaiah, he is 6'1" these days, and he is all arms and all legs, right? He has limbs for days. And so when we were sleeping, or at least when he was sleeping, it was like knees up in my back and feet in my face. I'm like, are we having fun yet? You know, that's my big question. Who knows that life inside the tent can be a bit stifling? And it's limited, and it's claustrophobic, and all you can see is what's right in front of you. But then the dawn breaks, and you step outside of your tent, and you breathe in that fresh air, and you look at the horizon, and you look at the beach, and you remember why you took your disabled son camping in the first place. Because it's beautiful. It's so nice outside the tent. It's much better outside the tent. But I want to ask, how often do we get stuck in a tent of our own thinking? We get so consumed by the nature of the issue and the nature of the problem, and we can tell you all about it, but how often does it get stifling and a little bit claustrophobic, and all we can see is what's right in front of us? See, that tent of an earthly mindset does not have much room for God. The tent of an earthly mindset does not have much room for his promises. It's no wonder that the faith atmosphere around us dies when we stay in the tent. It's no wonder that we're not seeing breakthrough, but God is calling us just like he called Abraham. He's calling us, get out of the tent. Get out of that mentality. He's saying to all of us, regardless of your situation, would you look up? Would you just look to me? The tent might be your reality, but you need to come and catch a glimpse of my reality. My reality, my realm is so much greater than your reality and your realm. We need to ask ourselves, because the scripture says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Ask yourself, where is your mindset? Mentally speaking, where are you dwelling? Do you meditate on the parameters of your own problems, or are you dwelling in the greatness of God? Where is your mindset? Because the tent mentality, the tent mindset doesn't incubate anything. It won't bring forth life to anything. It's when we look to God. It's when we look up to him again and again and look to his word and declare his word and look to his promises and declare over our situation that nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for our God. When we live in that tent of an earthly mindset, so often we can find ourselves just having tent conversations with ourselves. We're all like, oh, I'm all stuck in here, and this is my lot, and this is as good as it's going to get. And my marriage will never change, and she's not going to change, and he's not going to change. He'll never change. He hasn't changed in 20 years. Not going to, you know, this sort of thing. We say, I'm still on the shelf, and no one's ever going to love me. The pain isn't ever going to get any better. I've been here for so long, I can't change. And we say all of those things when we're in the tent, but there is no life in that tent mentality. There is no breakthrough there. All that's going to hatch in the earthly mindset is fear and continuing pain and maybe even anxiety and depression and all of those sorts of things. If you want to incubate breakthrough, you got to get out of the tent and you got to look to God. You got to get a faith-filled confession in your mouth. You got to start not just looking at your mountain, but looking at the God who moves mountains. You move mountains. You cause walls to fall. We sing about these things. Now we need to start living as though we believe these things. In my life, with Isaiah's situation, the tent conversation over the years has sounded a little bit like, this is my forever. This is my permanent. I'm going to be a carer until the end of my days. 85, 90, who knows? I've missed out on grandchildren. I've missed out on a family wedding, all those sorts of things. That is a place where at different times and in different seasons, I have wrestled in the tent of that mindset. And I promise you, there is absolutely nothing good there. There is absolutely no life at all there. It doesn't hatch anything good at all. But the Lord has so graciously dealt with me. And he has grabbed me by the hand, gone, daughter, come out. And I need you to look up. I need you to look at my reality. I need you to focus on my eternal throne. I need you to look at the fact that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I created those stars that you're looking at, sweetheart. There is nothing that's impossible for me. God is not done yet. God is not done yet. One way or the other, in our life and our situation, God's going to have the final word. Wholeness is the end of our journey. Wholeness is the end of your journey. No matter who you are, redemption, if you stay in faith, wholeness is the end you can look forward to and expect. I want to be a woman that lives outside the tent. I want to be a woman that creates an atmosphere around my life that incubates a breakthrough. Amen? You know, it doesn't matter how long it takes. We got to stop being hung up on the time. It doesn't matter how long it takes. Just keep on looking up. God is not in a hurry. Has anyone noticed? He's not going anywhere, and his promises do not have an expiry date. Amen? He's faithful and he's true. After this encounter we just read in Genesis 15, where God tells Abraham, your own flesh and blood is going to be your heir. After that, it took another 15 years. Another 15 years. God is not manipulated by our sense of time. He's not manipulated by our clock. He's not manipulated by us going, come on, God, you need to come through for me right now. He's not manipulated. The story of Abraham proves to us he's not in a hurry. He's not in a rush. I love that scripture. I'm going to take you there. In the book of Hebrews, it says in chapter 6, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We like the faith bit. We're not so thrilled about the patience bit. But faith needs patience and patience needs faith. Faith without patience will surely die. But patience without faith just waits nebulously without expectation and without hope. We need both faith and patience. If we're going to incubate a breakthrough, we need faith and patience. Cultivating an atmosphere of faith that stays steady and consistent over time. Don't just start in faith. Stay in faith. Remember, the chickens need 21 days. It's a process. It is a process. Sometimes breakthrough is instant, and we love that, and we believe for that, and we do see that. But I've come to realize that sometimes breakthrough takes time. God loves you, and He's playing the long game with your life. God is playing the long game with your life. Don't quit incubating those eggs on the 19th day. Don't go crawling into a tent of doubt and unbelief just because it's taking too long. Keep on looking to the Lord. Every day, look to the Lord and mix your faith with some patience. Doesn't matter how long it takes, because you're in the Lord's hands. And you might be uncertain about many things, but you can be completely certain about one thing. He is good. And He will do good in His own sweet time. Trust Him. Trust Him. Another thing about Abraham, while he was waiting for his breakthrough, he pitched tents, but he built altars. He pitched tents, but he built altars. We read from Genesis 13, verse 18, it says, "So when Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents, there he built an altar to the Lord." This was only one of many occasions where the Bible records that Abraham pitched tents, but he built altars to the Lord. The altar in the Old Testament context was a place of worship. It was a place of sacrifice. It was a place of reverence, a place of devotion, and Abraham built several of them in his journey while he was waiting for breakthrough. He never built a house. He never built a palace. The scripture records he only ever lived in pitched tents, but he built altars. To pitch something, it's just throw it up real rough and ready. Just super casual. She'll be right. That'll do. Chuck it up. Whatever. But to build, you got to be intentional with that. To build, it takes time. It takes attention. It takes focus. And I think if we're going to be a people church-wide that incubate breakthrough, we need to know how to build an altar while we wait. While we wait. It's like Ken preached about the secret place. We need to craft out and carve out an intentional place of worship, an intentional secret place, that place inside of us. The secret place should be more familiar than any other place, any other place. So often we're guilty of building our tents, but only ever pitching our altars. We build our tents. We build our tents, no problems. You know, we invest in a bunch of things. We give time and attention and focus to all manner of things that at the end of the day don't even matter. And they've got no hope of ever producing breakthrough in your life, like that Netflix series, hello. That girls' weekend, that big race, whatever. We put these things into the calendar long before they even arrive. But when it comes to the altar, we just pitch it. We just pitch it. We just pitch it and treat the time with the Lord casually. Prayer and fasting for 21 days, that's a bit full on, isn't it? I don't know about that. You know, we tip our hat to worship. We throw up some prayer here and there, some praise. We don't really want to sacrifice. We don't like it when it costs us something. And of course, we want God to bring breakthrough on our behalf, but we don't really want to build an altar. We don't really want to put in the work. I want to tell you, it's no condemnation, but I want to tell you, a casual relationship with the Lord is not the right atmosphere to see faith grow in your life. Who knows? If you need a miracle, it's a very good idea to stay close to the miracle worker. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart." All of your heart. He's not looking for half hearts. He's looking for whole heart. He's looking for a wholehearted people. Abraham, while he waited for his breakthrough, he examples to us a great intentionality about worship. He shows us this incredible intention behind his relationship with the Lord. The scripture says that he pitched his tents and he built his altar at Hebron. Hebron was the place where he pitched his tent and built the altar. The word Hebron in Hebrew means communion. Isn't that beautiful? That Abraham, the father of our faith, he chose to live in a place of communion. He chose to pitch his tents. He chose to dwell in a place of communion. He set up an altar in a place of communion. It's symbolic of intimacy. It's symbolic of worship. So you can go through the difficulties of life with God or without him. You can go through the hardships that you face by either running to God or running from him. But if you want to be the sort of person that really incubates breakthrough, that really sees the miraculous birth forth in your life, you've got to run to him in your time of need. You've got to run to him. The scripture says, approach the throne of grace. Come, receive the help, take the help, get the grace. When you come to the throne of grace, build your altar right in the middle of your problem and praise him even in the middle of the mystery. Seek him when you do not know and you cannot see the wood for the trees. Just devote yourself to him anyway. Not only will you have the comfort of his presence and his spirit, but faith tells us that while we're worshiping, he's working. While we're worshiping, he is working behind the scenes. Life is forming. While we're praying, he's working on our behalf. And at just the right time, life will hatch. At just the right time, a miracle will burst forth. The story of Abraham shows us that God is so faithful to all of his promises. The Bible says that Isaac was born. Isaac, the son of promise, was born at just the right time. It was a time of God's choosing. It wasn't a time of Abraham's choosing. It was a time of God's choosing. Why did he wait 25 years? I have no idea. Would Abraham have had it differently? I'm sure he probably would. But as much as a 25-year wait would have been brutal for them, I believe it's so good for us that it took so long because it fills us with hope. No matter what, God is so faithful. No matter what, he is so capable of fulfilling what he has promised in your life. Just as the singers and musos come and join me, the name Isaac actually means laughter. The promised son had a name, Isaac. His name means laughter. Isn't that so beautiful that at the end of all their waiting, God births laughter? At the end of all their pain, at the end of the long journey, at the end of everything that was hard, at the end of all those pitching tents and building altars, God births through their story joy. He birthed joy. And that's just a glimpse into the character and the nature of the God that we serve. That's what he does. And that's what he's like. The scripture says, and we believe it, that he works all things together for good, for the good of those who love him and according to his purpose. Do you love him today? Then good is coming. Do you trust him? Do you trust him? Because he's going to cause you to birth joy. He's going to cause you at the end of all things to incubate all sorts of goodness if you would just continue to walk with him. Let's be a people that stay in faith. Amen. Stay in faith. We're not called, Nations Church, we're not called to live and dwell in tents of doubt and unbelief. We're called to look to God. To look up and build an altar and cultivate a place where we position him constantly on the throne of our lives and give him the lordship of our lives and believe him to do wonders. And as we do, we're going to see him break through in Jesus' name, and we're going to give him some glory. Is that helpful to anyone? Why don't you give him some praise? Wherever you are, give him some praise. In your living room, give him some praise. Thank you that he's the God of breakthrough. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, like we do in every nation's church service, wherever we meet, wherever we gather. We always give people an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You might be watching online today. You might have just stumbled across the stream. Someone might have invited you to an online church service. I don't know how you found yourself to be watching today, but maybe you are watching and you don't know Jesus. Maybe you are watching and you don't have a relationship with Him, and I just want to speak to you for a moment, because you can. You can have a relationship with God, a real and living and vibrant and dynamic relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ. This is what you need to know. God loves you. He loves you so much. He doesn't just love you in some distant sort of cosmic, sort of far away sort of way. He loves you intimately. He loves you personally. He sees you. He sees you right where you're at today. He sees you and He loves you in that place. Everything that you've done good, everything that you've done bad, He still loves you no matter what. And God's love is not an empty kind of love. It's not a words only sort of love. God's love was demonstrated when He sent Jesus Christ, His one and only Son, to the earth. A perfect Son of God came to the earth to die a horrible death on a cross, and God rose Him back to life again. And that was the act, that was the pivotal act, that a humanity that was separated from God was now able to be joined back to Him again because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the penalty for all of our wrongdoing and all of our sin. And the way we enter into a relationship with God is by simply placing our faith in Him, believing in Him, and receiving Him into our life. Saying to God, I want You to be a part of my life. I want to make You the Lord and Savior of my life. And so, if that's you and you're watching today, it would be my honor to lead you in a simple and powerful prayer of faith. And if you pray it today with an open heart, with all of your heart, your life can literally change today as you get filled with an assurance that you've made your peace with God by receiving Jesus Christ. Come on, we're gonna pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for Jesus. I thank You that He died and He rose again, that I could have life, that I could have a relationship with You. And right now, I pray, come into my life, forgive my sin, be my Lord, be my Savior for this day and for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise for people that may have made that decision just now. So good. If you did make that decision just now, don't do the Jesus journey alone. We want to journey with you. We've got an online campus pastor, Pastor Kristen Willett, who would love to connect with you. Go to nationschurch.com/my decision and fill out your details there so we can be in touch with you and help you on your journey, and you can be a part of the community of faith. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more great content and updates, visit nationschurch.com.